the four angels. It is time that we familiarize ourselves a little more with who stands before God yesterday, today, and will forever. And possibly what kind of message they have for you, especially in this generation, this year, this day, in this hour. The message that one of them might have for you. His name is Gabriel. Gabriel in the Hebrew tongue means man of God. And Gabriel is kind of a special angel because he kind of brings the message when it so needs discernment of wisdom, deep understanding, and also good news. Boy, he could bring the good news. He was the one that brought the good news of the birth of our Lord, that is to say, the conception. We're going to talk about them a little bit, and we're going to check out their messages as things have transpired in a period of the last 2 years, which is phenomenal. Many Christians sleep, but you're not going to, and you're going to keep yourself abreast. So let's open our Bibles, if we may, to the book of Luke. Let's go with chapter 1 and we'll pick it up about verse 19, I believe it is. Let's introduce ourselves to Gabriel and his position. This will not be a difficult lecture, but it is one you must pay very close attention to, or you will be left behind. All right, there are key words which I will emphasize, and it is most important that you let those settle in your mind. Okay, St. Luke, that Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him. Now, to familiarize, this is Zechariah. He's an old fellow. He'll be the father of John the Baptist, and he doesn't quite understand what's going on, but God sends him an angel that said, your wife's going to conceive. It was a miraculous birth, and it would be John the Baptist. But this angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. Now, let there be no doubt in your mind. And again, Gabriel in the Hebrew tongue means simply man of God. So what are angels? They're men also. By that I mean angelic men in spiritual bodies. I took a canvas of ladies and asked them how many men in flesh they thought they were actually angels. We didn't pan out too good. All right? Now, but he was an angel, all right? That stand, I'm going to emphasize that stand in the presence of God. That means his abode, his place. That's where he spent his time. Where? In the presence of God. He's one of the four mighty archangels. He is a messenger of God to man. And when you're going to take somebody's word for something, always make it firsthand as best you can. Because when Gabriel heard it, it wasn't secondhand information. He stood in the presence of God. All right, let that settle in your mind. Basically, that's why we came here. Now let's continue. And am sent. He was what? Did he volunteer? No, he was sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Of course, the tidings were, you know, that his first good news was, you're going to be dumb. you can't talk for quite some time. And probably it was a good thing because he was past age of childbearing, and he couldn't, you know, he would have just went crazy anyway, see. Like, sometimes men get, they can't keep a good news anyway, okay? Oh, well, I didn't really plan on doing this in this manner, so I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to get a hold of myself, and we're going to do this right, okay? But it was that Elizabeth would conceive, and she did, boy, just quick as he got home. And then the angel came again. Which angel? Well, let's go with verse 26 and find out. And in the sixth month, chapter 1, the book of Luke, okay, 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. And he was what? Where was he sent from? A bunch of other angels, a bunch of preachers, a bunch of deacons, the church, the nation. No. Gabriel is sent from God. friend, you've got it firsthand, all right? Unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, all right? So we see here the good news, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So what do we got here? Now, I want you to take your mind away from that a moment. Gabriel, meaning man of God's position, is that he stands before God and God sends him directly to the people with information firsthand from God. He is one of four angels that stand before God, and they are in direct association with the four winds, winds in the Hebrew tongue, the ruach, the four spirits that stand before God that bring about the close of this earth age. So now we're a little better acquainted with this man, Gabriel. He always comes at a time. This particular case happened to be the first advent. He will be sent again in the scripture, and who knows, in other ways, to warn us of the second advent. That is to say, the events that would transpire, again, reminding you that in... let's just turn to Revelation chapter 7 real quick so that we can let this solidify in our minds just a little bit. Revelation chapter 7 reads verse 1. You'll all remember this. This is when the end, they really wanted it to come to pass. And they sent an angel and said, Stop this until God's elect are sealed in their forehead, meaning God's truth is settled into their minds. But chapter 7, verse 1 in the book of Revelation, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. They were sent by God, of course, because these are the four angels of God, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on anything. This is that wind, again, the ruach, the spirit, that is at any time capable, if God were to give the order, to bring this earth age to an end. He did not see fit, because there were many of God's election not sealed in their mind, whereby they could withstand, prophetically, the deception of the false one. They weren't ready. Oh, they were religious. They belonged to this church, that church, whatever. But they didn't know anything about this word. Right? So God had to have a little time to seal in their minds this word of God. Now, let's talk about, if we may, these four angels a little bit. Have you ever seen this book before? This is the book of Enoch. You will hear the book of Enoch mentioned in the book of Jude, just before that book of Revelations, as the seventh son from Adam, seven being spiritual completeness. It was discovered, no one knows by who, a long, long, long time ago. Nobody knows exactly. It was around even at the time of the canonization. It was not canonized. And it kind of dropped from sight until the year about 1773, and it came back forth. Enoch means dedicated. Now, I'm not going to teach this to you as the Word of God, but it is mentioned in the Word of God, and I would warn you, there were two Enochs. There was an Enoch who was a son of Cain, and yeah, he's got a book. All right? But there was an Enoch that is a son of Adam, seventh in line. He was the father of Methuselah, the oldest man in the world that ever was. Maybe there's a message in that, all right? Because chronologically speaking, we're along pretty late in the age. But I want to introduce you, inasmuch as Enoch, I have no doubt that in part this is true. But there are parts that I can guarantee you absolutely are not. So you must be very careful when you analyze those things that are written. The parts that I will be teaching you to the best of my ability as a student of God's Word are factual, because they're backed up basically with Scripture. I'm going to read from chapter 40 simply to identify the four angels and basically their duties. This Enoch, meaning dedicated, was shown many things. You all remember Enoch, don't you? Scripturally. He was so good that he walked with God or stood before God. One of the very few flesh men that ever did. But he was good enough that he actually walked before God. He walked with God. He was too good for this earth age. As a matter of fact, you'll find more written about the fallen angels in this book of Enoch than you will any other book, including the Word of God. And he was upset about these fallen angels. And God talked to him, Noah and him both about it. But if ever a man walked with God close enough to know what the third heaven was like, or who was in the presence of God, this one would have, if he had written the book. All I'm saying is, it never hurts to read something if you're well-founded in God's Word, because we're not going to take this as documentation anyway, all right? But it's interesting, and that's, you're mature enough that we can do that. I'm going to read from chapter 40, and it says, "After this I besought the angel of peace, who proceeded with me, to explain all that was concealed. I said to him, Who are those whom I have seen on the four sides, and whose words I have heard and written down?" Four sides of what? Standing before God. He replied, "The first is merciful, the patient, the holy Michael." Now, these are the four archangels of God that God uses, okay? "The second is he who presides over every suffering and every wound of the sons of men, the holy Raphael. The third, who presides over all that is powerful, is Gabriel. And the fourth, who presides over repentance and the hope of those who will inherit eternal life, is Haniel." Kind of like you might say Nathaniel, only it's P-H-A-N-U-E-L, Haniel. "These are the four angels of the Most High God, and their four voices, which at that time I heard." Now, these four always seem to be mentioned in the Word of God when something's about to happen. And that was one of the reasons I feel that God led me to do this, which is very unusual for me. But I would say you can take this from God. Not this word, but what we're about to say in this lecture. All right? I'm going to turn on, if I may, to chapter 53 of this and read one other thing concerning these four. "Michael and Gabriel, Raphael and Haniel, shall be strengthened in that day and shall then cast them into a furnace of blazing fire." This is the lake of fire, and your time is moved all the way to the end of the millennium, "that the Lord of spirits may avenge of them for their crimes, because they became ministers of Satan and seduced those who dwell upon earth." Sound familiar? Of course it does. That's what the subject is, and that's the reason I covered this. Now, I'm only using that, not as documentation, but to second witness things you already knew from the Word of God. Now we're going to go to the Word of God. And many of you remember recently that we covered the book of Zechariah in the Minor Prophets. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Zechariah 6 again. You will all remember the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 6 that had to do with the north country. What north country? Jacob and Esau, Genesis chapter 25, the mother was told, "You have two nations in your womb." And that prophecy would be with us concerning those two nations, Jacob and Esau. God loved Jacob. God hated Esau. But the north country, inasmuch as he sold his birthright, Esau was driven to the north country, which is Rush, would later be called Rush by the Volga, and then later Russia. R-O-S-H in the Hebrew Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, we're going to cover that prophecy once again with the knowledge placed in your mind that we just covered, that groundwork. So with those four in mind, think on this prophecy again. For we happen to know, you will note that there are four sets of horses with chariots, which means power, symbolically. That the red horse, which is the war horse, wasn't involved, not at all, in this prophecy. But it was other horses, the influence of God, that would bring God's spirit peace concerning the North Country. What's happened in the last 2 years? Communism, that system that would destroy, if possible, all Christianity, would take away God in any and every form, that would close churches and make warehouses out of them, or machine shops. It happened. There was a 70-year period of it. They tried to drive God from the world, if you would. That's what communism is about. In other words, it's man building his own salvation. It started falling like a set of dominoes and actually disintegrated, basically, it would appear. It hasn't. But for the sake of the prophecy, basically it has no power left. It couldn't defeat Texas, much less all of the United States, all right? And I know it couldn't defeat Arkansas. But anyway, we observe the fall. Do you know how it actually started? And this is factual now. 10 people began a prayer meeting in East Germany on the steps of a church. Over a 10-year period of time, those 10 turned into hundreds of thousands that broke the back of East Germany's communistic regime. And then that started a domino effect, and of course Poland a little prior to that, but it happened. It fell. Now let's read from God's Word how it fell actually, because it is written. Zechariah chapter 6. And I turned and I lifted up mine eyes and I looked, and behold, there came four chariots, and out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass, being extremely strong. In the first chariot were red horses. Red is always war. And in the second chariot, black horses. And in the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled, that's dapple gray, and bay horses. And then I answered and I said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Wonder which angel he was talking to, incidentally. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are, sharpen up for me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Those four spirits are the four winds, the ruach in the Hebrew tongue. Same thing, same word, translated. So let there be no doubt in your mind what brought about the fall of communism. The following will explain. 6. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them. Both the white and the black went north. And the grizzle go forth toward the south country, the dapple gray. And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get ye hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. You know something? I believe even from Desert Storm, as I told you on television, there was a force at work, that it would be a miracle war before it ever came to pass. You know it, and it's recorded. Why? Because I'm so intelligent? No, because of God's Word. We're in that generation where if you pay attention, you can be a very alert person as to what's about to happen next. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go forth to the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. God was never so oppressed as he was, supposedly, in man's eye, all right? So many children robbed from him, as in that north country, under the rule of that communistic regime. It fell without a shot being fired, and you will note that the red horse's chariot did not budge, did not go forth. Communism that you have... Many of you are in a generation that you've been taught since you were a child how to duck under a table, how to dread a nuclear holocaust. And you know I told you long ago, there shall be no nuclear holocaust. Because not even Satan wants this earth destroyed. He wants to be king of it. So, God's mind was brought to peace, and communism has fallen, but shall be rejuvenated when Antichrist himself sets foot on this earth and is threatened from the south. That's a ways down the road. Don't. It'll be the bruisers that threaten him. But it is a fact. That came to pass. And there were segments of this that we could not see. But even newscaster says, it's a miracle. And when you get one of those dudes to say something is a miracle, you've done something. Yeah. Same way with the Desert Storm War. It was the general seemed to think, boy, it is just by the grace of God, it's like a miracle. There are a lot of strings being pulled that man is not aware of, my friends, but you are, or you should be. And those four that stand before God, those messengers, utilize man, people, the world, to accomplish whatever they would want. There have been times in history in the Old Testament that they have destroyed an entire army without a man firing a shot. God, your Father, is in control. And you really don't have anything to worry about. Now, what happens just after this? What happens just after there is peace in Rush? Now, I'm going to skip the acrostic, which begins in verse 10 and 11, and go to 12. This is what happens next. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This is the message, if you would, again, of that angel. Behold, the man whose name is the Branch. Anybody know who that is? That's Christ, of course. As a babe? Well, let's read on. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Not claim he can build it in 3.5 days, but build it. Did that happen at the crucifixion? Of course not. So you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a future time. 8:13, chronologically align yourself. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. In other words, he didn't return to be crucified, but to rule. That's what happens next. Christ returns in that chronological order. Verse 15, And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass. Not maybe. It shall come to pass if. Remember what that little word can do? If. Big little word. If you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. What brings obedience? Basically, faith. How much do you have? So pretty soon. And pretty soon to God can be a pretty good little piece of time to man. All right? But pretty soon. After that system of Esau's would fall, Christ would return. There are other things that must transpire. We'll get into them, and by a prophecy of Gabriel's, we're going to find out. But we're going to go back to the book of Enoch for a moment. I'd like to know a little more about this adventure up north, wouldn't you? And it is written there, and I find it fascinating. Okay, so we're going to go back to the book of Enoch for a moment. Not that we need the book of Enoch to document this. I could do the same thing with the good old King James. But I just happen to find this report fascinating, and inasmuch as it did happen, and I know that man does not have the capability necessarily of seeing future, somebody did, for it aligns. Now, we're going to go, for those of you that have a book of Enoch, turn to chapter 60. Nobody brought theirs today. Aha! Incidentally, I think there's only about 20 of these left in the library. That wasn't too good a planning, was it? I'm not recommending that you get a book of Enoch, all right? I want to make that clear. It's interesting, but you better be very careful. Okay. Chapter 60. Listen to these words. In those days, I beheld, that means I saw, I observed, long ropes given to those angels, which, those four, who took to their wings and fled, advancing towards the north. And what do you got? You got these angels. It doesn't say all four of them, but that the two that went north, and they got long ropes. What are we talking about? And I inquired of the angels, saying, wherefore have they taken these long ropes and gone forth? He said, they are gone forth to measure, not to war, not to destroy, but to measure. The angel who proceeded with me said, these are the measures of the righteous, and cords shall the righteous bring, that they may lean upon the name of the Lord of Spirits forever and ever. That means participate in the eternity and for the eternity. The elect shall begin to dwell with the elect. In other words, at that time the elect are going to begin meeting the elect and recognizing the elect. Even if you would, the true elected one, meaning Christ, all right? Verse 5, and these, listen carefully, and these are the measures which shall be given to faith. What are they measuring? Faith. How are you doing, friend? Are you on half full or is it full? Are you almost down to empty or is it on a quarter? When you hear scripture that deals with prophecy that's happening in your generation, do you believe it? What does believe mean? To have faith in God's word, that when you have studied it and seen it, read it, absorbed it, that you recognize it when it comes to pass. Knowing those that are worthy, those that love the Father, if, remember from the King James, if they obey and understand my word, if. Those ropes are measures of faith. And those ropes are the same as Jacob's ladder, basically. Your contact with God through those four. Now, am I saying to worship angels? Forget it. They're messengers. I hope you want to hear from God occasionally. That's the way He delivered messages in the Scripture. There's nothing new about it. The measures shall reveal all the secrets in the depth of the earth. That's to say, the events that happen on the earth. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go right into the next chapter here and just read one little part to you. Let's chronologically see if we can fix this time soon after the ropes of faith were sent out to see, you know, check the temperature, do away with communism to the North Country, take these little old ropes and dangle them down there and see how many know what happened. See how many understand from God's Word what's going on. We've got so many people that get out and chase fire trucks, or they want to drive a fire truck and burn the enemy, get him. It's not written in God's Scripture, and you're going to get your tail burned when you do stuff like that. Bad. My friends, it's going to be done God's way,
amen,
not man's way.
Amen.
So pay attention to God's Word. Chronologically, this is what follows. Trouble shall come upon them. This is after the ropes going to the north country. Trouble shall come upon them and upon a woman in travail, whose labor is severe. When her child comes to the mouth of the womb and she finds it difficult to bring forth. You've all read that in the King James. You know what that's the birth of a new age. It's the pains of the end times. One portion of them shall look upon another. They shall be astonished and shall humble their countenance. In other words, their face is not going to have a smile on it. And trouble shall seize them when they shall behold this Son of Woman sitting upon the throne of His glory. Then shall the kings, the princes, and all who possess the earth glorify Him whom His dominion, who has dominion, rather, over all things, Him who has concealed, or was concealed, from eternity. The Son of Man was concealed, whom the Most High preserved in the presence of His power and revealed to the elect. And we're going to leave that there. We won't be going back to this anymore. But I found that fascinating, that it gives us a little closer view of what happened, perhaps, in the North Country. I don't have to wonder how it happened. I know only God could have caused it to crumble that way, because it was a powerful nation. And there are good people there. Never blame those people. There can only be one reason, and that being that your Father is in control and that it shall come to pass and is coming to pass. I could even put part of that in the past tense. Is coming to pass. Now, old Gabriel announced the first advent and indeed has already given us the chronological order of the second advent. He has placed those spirits that stand before God, meaning those four messengers that God uses. Understand, I'm not saying that Gabriel has any power. He's a powerful angel. But it is God that orders him, you go do this. You go accomplish that. And earthly man is like a let's see, we used to have these little things that got in the cabinet, you know, and would carry stuff off. You know, earthly man is about like one of those, you know, compared to one of those archangels. They're nothing. But you are wired into that power when you have wisdom and understanding, which Gabriel is the angel of, that brings it. It was Gabriel that deciphered Daniel's dreams for him. Remember? We're going to go there. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. You're going to hear the message of Gabriel giving you the chronological order of events as they come to pass, thereby letting you know what does happen next. For this is that same Gabriel, and they never change, the same yesterday, today, and forever, for that is how our Father is. Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. I'm not going to make this long. This is going to be short and sweet. Some of you may be disappointed. I don't know, but at least you'll have communion. But when a message, one of the first things I was taught as a teacher is, when you're done, shut up and sit down. All right? Don't belabor a point. The groundwork in your mind has been laying. Now, listen to the Word of God. This is not the book of Enoch. This is the book of Daniel. But then, do you know something? And this is a digression, but I cannot help it, the thought. There are many people that claim Daniel shouldn't be in the Bible, you know, especially of a certain group. They say Daniel doesn't exist, all right? So, What I'm saying, you must pick and choose as the Spirit leads you. Verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Therefore, you have your documentation that Gabriel is a man that brings wisdom and understanding. Okay? Do you ever want to understand something? You better hope it's Gabriel he sends. He's good at it. All right? So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, wait a minute. When was that? When was that? At the time of the end. What's the end? That's when all things are consummated. This tells you exactly what's going to happen in the end generation. And if you happen to be in that generation, and you are, because the parable of the fig tree documents it, then this pertains to you. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. God knows when it is, and that's exactly when it'll come to pass. The ram which thou sawest, this is the history, as well as some that I feel as a type has already come to pass. I need not even mention it in passing. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Medio Persia. Persia meaning Media, meaning middle land. Persia meaning pure. Okay. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, or Javan in the Hebrew, which means clay. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, many of you know this is old Skippy Skippy, Hoppy Hoppy, okay? And in past types. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. I'm going to tell you something, my friends. As you see a certain election taking place today in Europe, be careful. Watch, and watch carefully. For the economy is one of the hidden dynasties. 23. This is where you come in, and this is of utmost importance to you. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. Wonder if that's happened yet. Wonder how many young people were killed in Los Angeles today. Wonder how many young people were killed in Chicago. Wonder how many gang wars we have had in a so-called Christian nation. Think about it. Transgression on top of transgression. Deception on top of deception. A king, this is what happens next. This is from Gabriel. This is what happens next. A messenger from God. A king of furious countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, you all know who that is. It's instead of Christ. And you all know absolutely that what were you told to put the gospel armor on in Ephesians chapter 6 by Paul, that you would stand against an army coming from the north and to have every tank, get as many Sherman tanks and in these new ones, what do they call them, get as many of them as you can online. No, he didn't say that. He said, we're not going to be fighting against the power of the arm, which means explosives, but we're going to be fighting against things from higher places and dark sentences and sayings. And what do you put the gospel armor on for in the first place? To stand against the fiery darts of who? Satan, of course. Ephesians chapter 6. That's what Christianity is about, is being able to stand with intelligence when you observe prophecy coming to pass in your generation. All right. And his power, verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, but who? By the false Godhead. That's to say the false prophet, Antichrist, Satan, Lucifer, all in one, if you would, For every negative, there's a positive. As we have only one God, we have the office of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And He shall destroy wonderfully. Boy, doesn't that give you a little... How does somebody destroy wonderfully? By lies. Like sometimes you will meet some sweet little person, and they'll say, "Oh, you big old strong man, you... I want to get this barrel lifted up on that second floor up there." And she destroys your back. I mean, you reach down and you grab that sucker and you set her up there. Oh, and there it goes. Okay. Destroys wonderfully. Did I make my point? Have you got it? Okay. I mean, that's the way He works. Not by war. By saying, "You're the sweetest little old Christian I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to reward you and give you the badge of merit and let you have a mansion that's going to be so wonderful. It just gets a little warm in the summer and winter, that's all." Okay, it's a hot house is what it is. Okay, but He can handle that. He can do it, all right? In other words, between Zechariah 6, when Christ would rule, this must come to pass, all right? And I would say that if the second advent were to happen very close after that first prophecy of Zechariah 6, you better be ready. You better have those ropes of faith wound up tight. And if you get a chance to weave two of them together, do you know how to plait? You better learn how to plait and get your faith strong. Listen. When you see prophecy coming to pass, doesn't that strengthen your faith? Boy, it does mine. It gives you every proof that God's Word is true de facto. All right? He destroys wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. But how does He destroy the mighty and the holy Christian people? Those that just go to church just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. I don't ask no questions, so don't expect one from me. I'm on my way to deception land and so forth, okay? I mean, good people, wonderful people, they're just ignorant. They've never studied God's Word. They're going to be deceived, and they will be destroyed by those wonderful lies that Satan speaks to them, because they're going to think Satan is Christ. Thank God for you that have eyes to see and ears to hear that will stand the gap for your people. God loves you for that. Okay, verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He's going to work miracles like mankind has never seen before. It's written, and you know it. It's written in Mark 13. It's written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 of the marvelous miracles. It's written in Revelation 13 that he performs these miracles such as snapping his fingers and lightning coming from heaven in the sight of man. Hey, that's pretty good stuff, friend. That's pretty good deception. That's the supernatural put on exhibition before human beings that know nothing in this world but confusion and will follow anything that can use the power and the authority of self to rise above the norm. Many will follow. You know, and there you go. Okay, he's going to perform miracles. Craft will prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, even above God, if you would. You know him. And by peace, now you listen to me real good, not by war, not with a sledgehammer, not with a chain, not with a ban, but with peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And thank God that's where you come in. You think about it. You recover Mark 13 and understand that some of you have a destiny and a purpose to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, to be the bruisers that will bruise the serpent's head. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. There's just one thing about days, my friends. Sooner or later, time runs out. When you tip the hourglass, sooner or later, the last grain falls. Why have I done this? To present prophecy to you that has come to pass in your hour, to let you know approximately how many grains are left, and to issue you a line, a rope of faith that can be strengthened in that prophecy, to prepare yourself mentally and spiritually to know what's about to happen. We've talked about it for a long, long time, many years. In my case, 40 years I've taught and longed and waited and wanted that day. Wanted those prophecies to come to pass. My friends, they are indeed de facto. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick. Certain days afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. You do. You're living in that generation whereby that understanding has come to you. You see the consummation of the one world system as it moves to power. Do not forget the exact chronological time clock. What happens? It will almost come to power, but as it is written in Revelation 17, it will not come to power until that son of perdition appears on this earth to give it the leadership. For there is no human being can lead that system. And then those events shall begin to tumble. An event shall transpire, and you will be ready. So take the ropes of faith and know that your Father will not lie to you. His word is true, and it's always a pleasure to serve Him. It is indeed. You will never be embarrassed or ashamed. Oh, there will be some knuckleheads, but you don't care about knuckleheads, all right? Just pray for them. Because I'm going to tell you something. It was for that reason also that God sent His elect to this earth, was to help the knuckleheads, all right? And I'm not talking down at them or anything like that. Just be patient with them. They're your brothers, they're your sisters, and they mean well. We have the victory. Who are those four that stand in the presence of God, those four angels? God has a government, and it's a perfect government. And He sends those to deliver messages. The only reason that I laid that groundwork in your mind so tediously laid it is not that you would know it was from Gabriel, but that it was from God. Because that's where He stands. And do you know something? He will always stand there. Always. And to have messages firsthand in the Scripture, or however it may come as time progresses, so be it. But always remember this one thing. God will never give you something that you cannot document or prove in the good old Scriptures. That is to say, in the manuscripts. I might say one other word in passing. Is the book of Enoch in the Masorah? Answer, no. Do I feel that the book of Enoch is true? Well, parts of it are. Whether it's actually God's word, but it aligns with this, all right? It's the same message. I feel in my own heart and mind that parts of it are. Now, even in the bad book of Enoch, there were two Enochs. One was the son of Cain. Have you ever read Satan's scripture? Do you know that Satan has scripture that he has quoted here in the good old King James? He does. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 4, where he's quoting the Psalms, and he quotes from Deuteronomy, where he was tempting Christ. And he twisted every one of them. But there was a certain part of them that was exactly true until he got to his twist. Why am I saying that? To take all this away? No. To encourage you to be careful. Check out the Word. Document it. But my friends, if there was ever a time that you should be awake and alert with your faith in seeking that knowledge and understanding. It should be now. And as we continue on, I know that all the cards are on the table for the one world system to come into being. It's a house of cards, and a house of cards falls easily. Now, is it a type or is it the real thing? You better treat it like it's the real thing, and then if it's a type, you'll learn something.